Welcome in to D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick here on 102.5 The Game. It is a Friday afternoon spectacular. We are looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We've got all kinds of things to talk about today. We're going to do a little college football, sprinkle it in with our Titans coverage. Titans had a little bit more of a laid-back day. The media was not invited, shall we say. We were not allowed to come out
there. We didn't get the invite.
So whatever they did, we didn't see it. But not a whole lot of news coming out of there today. Mm-hmm. But just getting cranking there. Still plenty of things to discuss as the Titans get ready for the season, including something we're going to hit on a little bit later, and that is Steve Smith, a contemporary of Derek Mason's, an outstanding wide receiver in the NFL. He did his own little breakdown of the Titans wide receivers, and man, he is very optimistic. So we're going to get into some of the things that he said about it a little bit later in the show. Chad Withrow is going to join us at 3:20. We'll get his take on SEC Media Days, the SEC Big Ten interaction, which, by the way,
getting a little spicy. Just a tad bit.
We're going to talk about that some today, too. The SEC snobbery is being challenged, I would say. The Big Ten has been flexing, led by Kurt Cignetti. Mm-hmm. He had some fun things to say. Mitch Light is going to join us to set the table for some college football. So here we are on the final day of July as we are right on the precipice of another football season. Looking forward to it. So, thank you.
Yeah, I had to worry. We haven't hit.
So we're off and running. We're off and running. We also have another music challenge today. This week we've been doing some music trivia. So what do we have today, Derek?
So today's theme is songs that were number one on the Billboard. What year were they number one on the Billboard?
Okay. So what kind of time span are we hitting? Are we going
back to
the 60s?
No. The latest one is in, it's like the 80s. So we're going from 80s all the way up to the current.
Okay.
So it's a wide like spectrum.
So I can ask for some hints here?
Yeah, just one hint.
If needed.
One hint. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't think you would need more than like what year was in.
Yeah.
So,
but see, this is the key. You got to get the exact year. Right?
Yes, yes.
It's not multiple choice.
No, it's not.
All right, Feeling the pressure.
But when I was putting the music together and my daughter was sitting at the table with me and her mom. And so I'm playing the songs and I guess they're listening to the songs that I'm playing. And I was like, why are you playing those songs? I said, well, we do this thing every day. All of us decide on what music we're going to play and then we got to sort of guess the year or whatnot. The music was, big. And she was like, okay. She was like, well, is Willie, you may want to change some of your songs because Willie may think you have a crush on him. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what are you talking about? So she had me looking at the songs like, oh, yeah, I get. I just picked them just because I like the songs. She was like, are you
so
sure?
You're don't read into anything.
Yes, don't
about
read
the
into anything
except
about they were
number
the songs.
One songs.
Absolutely. That they were number one songs. It's a good mixture in there. So there we go.
Okay. So we're
she had me
laughing. To that. Connor Newt is with us today. So, Connor, how is your fatigue level at this point after doing a lot of extra work this week with the 6 o'clock hour that you've debuted this week, your coverage of the Titans at camp? So, how do you feel on this Friday afternoon?
I got to tell you, man, I was gracious enough to get the afternoon off yesterday because of that, and it was the most relaxing afternoon of my entire life. The work didn't stop when I got home. I had some yard work to finish up and to mow the lawn and cut my trees, but I laid down around 3 o'clock, and I was out for about 2 hours, and then I woke up and I was like, oh no, I got to do a 6 o'clock show. So it was right back to work. So fatigue levels are here today, but it's worth the fatigue levels to get the experience and the job in. So
there we go. That's what I'm talking about.
We're broadcasting with the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. You can always call or text us and be part of our conversation. 615-737-1025. It is driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com.
Willie, I was, and I forgot to send this article to you guys earlier, but it was from the Players Tribune. And I guess they did this expose, whatever you want to call it, on Deebo Samuel. And I got to reading it because he was talking about him coming into the NFL his first year and them going to the Super Bowl that whole first year. And what really intrigued me about it is it was this, they quoted him as saying, "I thought this would happen every year." And I found that interesting because after my going into my third year, I believe it was, yeah, we went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And, you know, you get there and you're devastated because you lost, but you're looking at all these veteran guys that are crying. You think, like, what are y'all crying for? We're going to be back. All these guys in here, we're coming back with maybe the exception of a few. But I'm like, we're going to have a great team. What are y'all? We're going to be here. And we never went back. So I can, I understand that wholeheartedly.
Isn't it like that? I really do think that is that does happen. Mm-hmm. And I can remember the following year when you guys lost to the Ravens. I hate to bring it up, but that was the thing that hit me, besides just the freak nature of that game. Mm-hmm. But it's like, man, I was convinced that the Titans were going to go back to the Super Bowl. They were better. You guys were better,
yes,
than you were the year before, and mm-hmm. it wasn't really even close. So that was the hurt of that whole thing. I thought that whole feeling, like you mm-hmm. said, of, well, they'll be back next year.
Exactly.
They were so close. This is going to drive them. And you guys came back and were better, mm-hmm. but then lost in, to be honest, a really fluky game.
Yes.
And that is what has always stuck with me, and I experienced it through watching my son's team mm-hmm. win the national championship, because they had so many games that were so close.
Yes.
It could have gone the other way. It's so hard to mm-hmm. win it, even
yes.
if you're the best team.
Yeah.
Even if you're the best team, it's hard to win it. Things have to go your way. You might need a couple of breaks, because usually at that level, when you're talking about a championship, mm-hmm. you're just not that much better than everybody else that you play. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be some close games.
I'm sure you felt that way, Connor, being a UK fan, you know, you figure, oh, man, we got these dudes. We're going to win it. If we don't win it this year, we're going to win it next year. And then next year comes and we're going to win it next year. So
every year it's a pain that you can't escape.
Oh, man.
But I do think sometimes fans lose sight mm-hmm. of how hard it is to win. And it almost, like Kentucky basketball would be a good example of, they've tasted it so many times mm-hmm. that they think, well, we've won it 10 times or whatever it's been. We're going to win again. But it hasn't gotten easier. It's gotten harder.
Yeah.
I think with each passing year and the parity that you see mm-hmm. and all of the tweaks to systems where you have salary caps, and that creates more parity. And in college sports, we're seeing a lot more parity too. But fans still have that mentality of, we're supposed to win the national championship. It's hard.
Yeah, especially in college sports, where across all sports, really, you're seeing the underdog start to emerge. Like in basketball, we could go with Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has raised it. Football too. They've raised the standard. They are a competitor year in and year out. Indiana in football just went undefeated, won a national championship. Nebraska in basketball, they went to the Sweet 16. That's never been done before by them. So in college sports, parity is all across the board, and you're not seeing the stereotypical world beaters year in and year out compete for a national championship as much as they should be.
And I think it also has changed, and this is why, you know, when we hear people, whether they text us or they call us, and they're not as high on the Titans, that's why I sort of think, like, man, why not? Because sports isn't like it used to be. It's not going to take you 3-4 years. And I understand that the Titans hadn't been a good team for the last 4 or 5 years. I get that. But to think that they can't turn this thing around in 1 year, not to say to win the Super Bowl, but put themselves in a position where they are a playoff team rather than not. That's why I look at it from that standpoint, because it's like with free agencies, you bring in a new coach, you know, you finally think you're getting things right. Anything can happen throughout the season, whether it be injuries or things of that sort. There, the how you think of them now may be totally different from when, you know, after we finish week 10 or 12. And then you kind of see where the landscape is.
A couple other notes to hit before we get to Chad Withrow. I was reading this today about Travis Hunter. This is a Titans adjacent topic here, because the Jaguars, how they're doing directly affects how the Titans are doing. We had all of that discussion last year of how hard it was going to be for Travis Hunter to actually be worth it to the Jaguars to give up what they gave up to get him and have him be able to do what really nobody's been able to do. Mm-hmm. And really in any sport outside of Shohei Ohtani, which is it's a different thing. It's unbelievable what Ohtani has done. But Travis Hunter trying to play two ways, I was curious, D-Mace, because he played seven games last year. Ironically, the Jaguars had a good year, but not because of him. Mm-hmm. He didn't do a whole lot, and his season ended by the end of October due to injury. I was wondering if they would come back with a little bit of a different approach, but that's not the case. They plan on him playing offense and defense again, that he's tried to put some weight on. Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited about this. Is what we always have to be conscious of when we're talking about the Titans, that everybody's talking, hey, I love the new coaches and I love the new system. This is going to work great. Everybody's got that same level of hope right now. And so they're really high on Travis Hunter coming back. But I was reminded of our discussions last year of just how hard it's going to be. I wonder if it'll be any better in his second year.
I'm not sure. You hope that it – I'm sure Jaguar fans hope that it is. And one is he has to be – you know, he has to be able to stay on the field. He missed a huge portion of the season last year. And, you know, double that with being a rookie, I mean, that sets you back, you know, months as far as learning what to do and seeing offenses or defenses, both in his case. But – I am surprised that they're choosing to say we're going to continue. Now, it all depends on how much, because they can use him in situations where, you know, third down, some gadget play, something like that. Even if you think about Deion or Champ Bailey or Woodson, guys like that, they played, but it was very sparingly and at specific times in the game.
I consider those
think
guys.
That's how they're
defensive.
That's how they're going to use him.
Who
exactly
contributed on offense.
They need him more on defense, I think, than they do on offense. They can use his gadget plays or his ability to beat one on ones in certain situations, but he can't be a guy that you rely on heavy to be out there, you know, majority of the game on offense.
So that's just one to watch. Travis Hunter, because I don't want to say he's a forgotten man, but he's a guy that they didn't get a whole lot of last year. He got hyped up. They hyped him up as much as anything, that this is the generational guy that's going to do what hasn't been done before. They didn't get much, but they still did well. Mm-hmm. So how is he going to do this year? That's something to put on the back burner. Another thing we just saw that came down this afternoon was that DeAndre Hopkins is going to coach – on the college level. He's going to Georgia Tech to help with their receivers. And it's just crazy because a couple years ago, we were wondering, how long is DeAndre Hopkins going to play? Is he one of those guys that can get into his 30s and still play just because of his unique skill set, right? He didn't rely on speed and quickness. And now he's moving on to something else. It just shows you how hard it is. And you can relate to this because you lasted a lot longer than most receivers. But being able to keep doing it into your 30s, it's the older you get, the harder it gets.
Yeah, that's why each and every year you have to reinvent yourself. You have to be willing to know that your role is changing and embrace it, because it may be asking you to do something else, which it may prolong your career. You know, if in year eight, you know, for the first 6 years you've been a deep threat, you've been that guy, that starter, and then all of a sudden – you know, they're not looking at you in that form. Are you going to be able then to adapt to that and play the role that they're asking you to play and flourish in that role? Because when that happens, it prolongs your career. And listen, Hop had a stellar career, outstanding career. Many will say it's a Hall of Fame career. He spent some time with Coach Vrabel in New England for a bit, and now he's at Georgia Tech. So it seems like this is a guy that wants to stay in wants to stay involved with football from a coaching aspect, or at least, you know, that's what he's trying to fill out.
It was interesting. He went from when the Titans traded him after one pretty solid season. Mm-hmm. He had 75 catches. He had over 1,000 yards. You know, not superstar stats like he had at the peak of his career, but he did a nice job mm-hmm. that first year. Second year, not as big, and they traded him at the deadline. And there were some before that second season were saying they need to keep him around for a while. But it just showed since they've traded him, I think they fairly got off the ride at the right time because he diminished pretty quick.
Yeah,
he was on the Ravens the entire year last year and caught only 22 passes for 330 yards. So he's going to the coaching ranks. I wonder how quick he'll make the transition. I don't know him mm-hmm. well enough to know, but I've always been curious. Like you probably had an opportunity if mm-hmm. you wanted to if you wanted to shop around and go into coaching, you probably could have done it. You've worked with young receivers. Mm-hmm. How tough do you think that would be to transition straight from the league to major college? Some could probably do it more naturally than others.
Yeah, I think some are just innate. What's in them is coaching, being able to, break down something in a way that someone else can understand it and go out there and play to their full potential. There are guys like that littered throughout the NFL that are still playing. That are guys that come in as rookies, and you can sort of see that mentality or see that thought process in them as far as how they look at the game. When I'm not sure how hard it is, I guess it all depends on, you know, because I think when you decide you want to go to coaching, you got to be done with the game.
Yeah.
You have to be in your body, I mean, in your mind, in your heart, you got to be done with the game. Because,
as
a player, because you can't go out and try to commit yourself to being the best coach you could possibly can, but also thinking, oh, I can get back in the game. You can't do it. It has to be
exactly.
It has to be either you're all in or you're not.
That's
so
a good point.
I think a lot of guys that. Because not many guys go automatically into coaching. They kind of wait for a few and then they kind of go. But those guys that have thought about this, like while they were playing, those are the guys that typically are like, okay, let me try this out, see if I like it. I thought about it while I was playing, but let me see if I really like it now. And Hop, maybe he was one of those guys. He thought the game out extremely well. So maybe he's choosing now to take his talent and use it in another way, but still be able to stay with the game.
Yep. And there's been a lot of great players in a lot of sports
that
are great players, but when they went into coaching, it was not as easy for them to explain mm-hmm. why they were great.
Why you just can't do it?
Why can't you do it like I did it? Well, I'm not like you.
Man.
I'm not as good as you. All right, when we come back, Chad Withrow is going to join us, and we'll bounce around with him. We'll get some SEC thoughts from him. And then later in the hour, we're going to talk about just how good are the Rams. If Aaron Donald comes back, and they've got Myles Garrett, and they were already really good, how good are the Rams? We're going to hit that a little bit later in the hour. Stay tuned. We're talking Friday afternoon, Nashville, Tennessee. This is DVD. Hang with us here on 102.5 The Game. Okay, is this the first quiz?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Little Pharrell. So I got to guess the year.
Yeah, you got to guess the year. You know it's Pharrell and who else?
It's Alan Thicke.
Is it Robin?
Go. Robin
yep.
Thicke? Yeah.
What year was it?
See, this is the problem. Yesterday I excelled, or 2 days ago I excelled because of the 80s. I can mm-hmm. pinpoint year by year in the 80s. You get to the 2000s, it gets a little fuzzy.
But this was a huge song.
I haven't looked at the years either,
it
Willie.
This was a huge song.
This is my era right here.
Man, I'll feel good if I'm within 3 years. on either side of this thing.
You want a clue?
I'll take one clue. I need my one
clue.
Okay. And then we're going to get to Chad Withrow. And before we reveal, we'll get Chad to guess. Is Chad ready for us? I feel like this. He's a little younger. This might. He might still be in the part of his life where he can remember year by year when this was out.
It was between the years.
Oh, I got a range.
Of 2009 and 2016.
Okay. That makes me feel good because that's kind of where I was in my head. All right, okay. So we're going to bring in Chad. Chad, we got to get the exact year. These are number one songs.
Number one songs on Billboard.
2012.
Song.
2012.
Hold on. He seemed to be very, very excited.
He was kind of confident.
So this will be the equivalent of phone a friend. I'm going to go with Chad just because of the decisiveness of his answer. Let's see if he's right. Oh!
The year was 2013.
Okay, so you were
a year
all over it. All over it.
You're a year off.
All over
it. Nothing wrong with that.
I feel like Chad was right. It was probably released in 2012 and it hit number one in 2013. I think that's within the range.
Hey, listen.
I'm saying correct
answer. I would have said it too, the way how confident Chad was.
Oh,
I'd be like, yep,
yeah.
2012. There we go.
The Olympics were in London. Robin Thicke was at the top of the charts. 2012 mm-hmm. just felt right. It felt like it was 2012. And I feel like Daft Punk, their song was right around. Mm-hmm. It was either 2012 or 2013. I actually, in the last couple of years, listened to a podcast about the year 2012 in music, and I feel like that song was in it, but apparently I was wrong. I was one year off.
I feel like we're close. That's a horseshoes. We need credit for that.
Hey, man, you're getting another
people
shot.
People still play horseshoes? I don't know. It's not a video game of horseshoes. You got to find the authentic horseshoes.
What the
you
heck is horseshoes?
Oh,
don't
wow.
See it very often.
Okay. No, you're just playing.
But, Chad, before we start talking a little football here, tell people what's going on with your show, you and Hutt.
Yeah, so we're doing the Tennessee Power Hour, which is basically our old local show. We're just doing that an hour twice a week, dropping Mondays and Thursdays. But that's sort of in preparation for what's going to be a two-hour show that we will launch on August 17th. This is going to be tied to something bigger that I can't announce yet. It's actually going to be announced that week that we launch. But on August 17th, that Monday, we're going to be live from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time. I need some advice on morning shows from anyone who's ever done it. Never hosted a morning show before, so I'm going to have to get my nap in the afternoon or whatever that takes. But we'll be ready to go 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time on YouTube. Hutton and Withrow is where you can find us there. And there's going to be a bigger announcement, Willie, that week that's going to explain a lot more. So we're really excited about it. It's going to be part of a larger network of shows. And it's going to be exciting, so we're looking forward to it.
All right.
Sounds mornings like are great in the summertime. After that, they're horrible. They're horrible.
Well, and I'm not like
as far as like getting up. Yes.
You know, I mean, I say morning, like, and I think that this is going to be done from a home studio. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, D-Man, we're talking about rolling out of bed at 6:15, throwing some water on my face and drinking some coffee and going on from another room in my house mm-hmm. at 7. You know, I'm not exactly digging ditches here. So I can't complain too much. But, yeah, I feel like those guys who do, like, 5 a.m., mm-hmm. it's just a totally Ooh. Different lifestyle when you're having to go to bed at, you know, 9 o'clock to get up at 4 a.m. or whenever that is. So luckily I'm not quite that early, but still early for me.
So, Chad, I will say this. I'm going to be hearkening back to younger days. But when I start listening to discussion of the day-by-day deliberations of the Congress trying to put this college act together, my brain just turns to mush. And like the more details they give me, the more I just shut down. I like, tell me when it's over, because nothing grabs me of like, oh, that's the breakthrough. They're going to get on this. Are you as skeptical about this as I am? Where is this going?
It numbs the brain, Willie, to say what you just said. I mean, it really does. And it really comes down to, it's this simple. Lawsuit bad, money good. That's what they're trying to get to, right? They're trying to avoid litigation with whatever happens. So there has to be some antitrust exemptions that will be passed, similar to what's been passed for the NFL and for other pro sports, for college sports. But you still have to have that exist within a collegiate structure. So I don't really understand how that all works. It all sounds great. I want rules like everybody else in college sports But how you get to that while maintaining some semblance of an educational aspect of this and not just pay for play minor league sports, I don't know how you get there. I saw Kyle Whittingham speak at Big Ten Media Days, and I did like what he said about, look, this needs to be a minor league for the NFL. You know, these guys aren't as good as NFL players. They're not as old. But we need to partner with the NFL in some way and make major college football some sort of a minor league system with an NFL-like structure to it. And if you can get to that, but again, I don't know how you get to that while also requiring kids go to school and be academically eligible, right? I know we're probably going to get to Arian Carter. I didn't know that rule still existed that we're talking about with this. Like, when was the last time someone was academically ineligible for a bowl game? It may have been when Blurred Lines was number one, 2013.
You're right. I was going to say.
Was that the last time? I mean, you want to talk about Blurred Lines. When does APR and academics matter for any of these things? When is someone, you know, passing all or failing all their classes and can't play late in a season? So I just don't know how it all coexists together. But, you know, we need to get to a place where it does again. And hopefully, I mean, when you're looking to the federal government to help, that's probably a bad thing. But that's where we are right now.
Speaking of it being hard to get busted cheating, you had a couple of interesting stories that had people actually asking the question, there are rules? You actually can get caught for cheating, like Michael Lombardi getting basically asked to leave. You wonder what's going on behind the scenes of that, but that seems to be under the category, Derek, of what Adam was talking about, mm-hmm. people who have no fans.
Yes.
Michael Lombardi doesn't seem to have any fans as he's been ousted at North Carolina. But, Chad, what do you make of that one?
Michael Lombardi is Will Smith at the end of Fresh Prince, looking around the room with no furniture and no one there. That was him. Hey, where are my guys? Where's Jordan, Bill's girlfriend? Is she going to have my back, anybody? No? And move on. Yeah, it's bad. On Carter thing,
yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and get to that.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted, because I'm sure that one just makes no sense at all.
$427. Yeah. I mean, it's $427. This is how ludicrous this is, guys. If Arian Carter had an NIL agent in high school at Smyrna High School when he was a Smyrna Bulldog, he could have charged 10 to 20 grand just to go on a visit to go see your college. That could have been the entry fee to go on visits in high school. That's what's going on right now with NIL. And it's completely looked the other way, no problem at all, for guys to collect money in the name of name, image, likeness just to go visit your school if you're a 4 or 5-star prospect. And he got pinched for $427 when he paid it back and he disassociated from his agent. The rule itself is flawed.
Right. Okay, that's the only reason it happened, right? It's just poor interpretation. It's poor writing of the rule. It's the fine print.
Yes. Well, if you're going to allow someone to go through the draft process and withdraw and come back to school, Willie, then as part of that, you should then allow them to pay back money that was paid mm-hmm. to them and disassociate with an NFL agent, and then they're fine. They're free of that, right? Like, there needs to be a second layer to the rule. Because all the kid did was, he said, all right, I'm going to go through the process. He went through the process. NFL doctors told him, look, you're going to need another surgery. You're not going to be drafted where you want right now. If you go back to school and prove it for a year and stay healthy, you're going to be a high draft pick. He decided to do that. He's been at Tennessee his whole career. And I thought Josh Heupel said it well in a statement. Been at Tennessee his whole career. He's not someone who bounces around transferring for top dollar year after year. You know, he's going to graduate in August. He'll be going to graduate school. He's getting a degree in public health at Tennessee. I mean, it's just the absolute worst type of example that you can set if you're the NCAA. With all these other issues, to suspend Arian Carter for $427 is ludicrous. And if I'm Tennessee, I'm playing that guy against Georgia Tech. I don't care if it takes one lawsuit in Campbell County Court with one Vol-loving judge to say you were stopping him from his ability to make money by not playing on national TV at Georgia Tech in game number 2, and they give him that temporary injunction to play, that's fine. Go the Charles Bediako route if you want, where they found a favorable judge to allow him to play for a while, and then eventually everyone found out exactly what should happen. Oh, yeah, he's not eligible. Why? Because he played professional basketball for multiple years. We let a guy play pro basketball, guys, and then go back and play at Alabama. And Arian Carter is not going to play at Georgia Tech because of $427. If I'm Tennessee,
but he paid back. He paid it back.
I would dare the NCAA to do something. I'd play him, and I would dare them to do something about it.
Now, with that being said, Chad, do you think this is just another thing to add on to, you know, why we need to leave the NCAA and create our own thing in regards to the SEC? Because Heather Dinich reported that there has been serious talks of leaving the NCAA. Do you think they're ever going to get to that point?
But nobody wants it. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with it. Like, yes, we need to get to that point. I've thought for a while we need to get away from major college football needs to be its own thing. It needs to be run like the NFL. It really does. They need to have their own legislation, their own guidelines, everything. Major college basketball, men's basketball, should be its own separate thing. It generates enough money. There's enough money going around where it should have its own league. I mean, I think the NCAA can handle lacrosse. They can handle rowing. You know, right now they can probably handle softball, maybe baseball, maybe not. There's a number of sports that the NCAA could manage. They can't manage all of the interest and all the money, especially in football. So they should break away. But anytime you ask anyone about breaking away, what do they say? Well, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. You know, Nick Saban, hey, you got a lot of good ideas. You should be the commissioner of college football. Well, I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that. I mean, who's going to take over that and say, we're going to run it? And good luck if it's Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey trying to figure that out.
So
if those are two guys up for it, you think they're going to come to an agreement on who should run college football?
Nah.
With those two leagues butting heads? I mean, it's just, it's a mess right now. But certainly, especially with the Arian Carter story, the NCAA needs to not be in the business of legislating college football.
So what do you make make of what Cignetti said about the SEC? Because, listen, this has been an ongoing thing now. And, yes, the SEC has been supreme for many years, but over the last 4 years, I think the Big Ten has toppled them. I'm not saying that it's going to continue to happen, but what do you make of what he said?
Well, so I think a lot of this. One, Cignetti's right in what he said. Two, for someone who's going to brag about, you know, we just put our head down up here in the Midwest and do our work and don't talk, he sure does a lot of talking. So I don't know that he's the guy to deliver that message about not talking. That guy was talking trash in his opening press conference before he'd earned or done anything. Now he's gone on and earned it and proven himself, no doubt about it. And I like Kurt Cignetti. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying two different things are true here. One, the Big Ten has had the best team in America the last 3 years, and it's been three different programs. It's not one team repeating itself over and over again. That's a huge notch in the belt for the Big Ten. And the Big Ten should be celebrated for that. And right now, I would say because of that, the same reason the SEC bragged for years about that national title, the Big Ten's the best conference. Now, does that make the Big Ten the best conference top to bottom? I don't think so. Because the problem with the Big Ten is repeatedly the bottom six and seven teams in that conference are not good. And that's where the SEC is different. Now, there are some bad teams in the SEC. There's one or two every year that aren't very good, but I don't have the standings in front of me. But if you pulled up the bottom six or seven in both conferences and said head-to-head, what's going to be the tougher road trip? You know, what's the tougher road trip between Northwestern or going to Mississippi State or Arkansas? It's not even close. I mean, there's just some bad teams.
Depending on what time of year you go.
At the bottom of that conference. Well, look, it's true. Yeah, your frostbite could be a factor in some of these places. But, yeah, I mean, I think the depth of the SEC is where they win. But also, for SEC people out there, and I'm one of them, I mean, it's tough to sit around and thump your chest when you're not, you know, winning college football playoff games the way you had before or not even getting to the college football national championship game. So, yeah, I'll be the first to say it right now. Ken has every reason to brag.
We're going to get into this later in the show. Chad has set the table for our 5 o'clock topic. But, Chad, as we let you go, what is the over-under on whether Lane Kiffin is back on social media now after telling everybody last week that he was been off of social media? I don't look at anything like that anymore. Like, do you buy that, or do you think he's back?
I think he's got a burner. I want to find out.
Maybe multiple burners, yeah.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, yeah, he's peaking at social media. He may not be active right now with posting, but I guarantee you that guy's paying attention to what's going on in social media. I don't know what his latest yoga trend is or his diet or anything else, But I feel like when the yoga trend slash diet changes, Willie, that dude's going to be back on X, and he's going to be posting away, and he's going to be ribbing all sorts of coaches and fan bases. So it's not going to be long for him to be done with social media, that's for sure.
He's always got something that he brings to the table. And his first year, it's not going to be dull down at LSU for sure.
Let me just say this, too. He's just an odd dude. Like, he's just very different. I was down at SEC Media Days and saw him, and he is a strange fella. Like, just – there's – like, you look at the eyes, and there's just – it's something off. There's not – something's not connecting. It's like he's just not of this world. It's almost alien-like when you're around Lane Kiffin. And I've dealt with him before, and when you're just having a conversation with him, he's kind of got that smartest guy in the room type thing about him, and he's very smug. And he's a smart aleck about everything, but it's just, it's odd. He's a very good coach, right? It's just like he's operating on a different wavelength than everyone else. Different frequency with Lane Kiffin, that's for sure.
I'm sure it'll go very smooth. The LSU fans are very understanding if things go wrong. I mean, what could go wrong down at LSU? Him and Lane Kiffin, boy, that is, get your popcorn. Chad, have a great weekend. Great to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, you guys have a great weekend also. Always fun talking to you.
All right, Chad Withrow joining us here on the show as he does every Friday. When we come back, we'll throw our little NFL change of pace topic. We're going to talk about the Rams. We're going to go through how close they were to winning the whole thing last year. And if it weren't for a team within their own division, they might well have won it. But now they've got Myles Garrett, and they might get Aaron Donald back. How scary good are the Rams? Let's talk about them when we come back. And then during the 4 o'clock hour, we'll get into some Titans stuff, including Steve Smith, the great wide receiver, his optimistic look at the Titans wide receivers. We've got a lot coming here on DVD. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game. Now, this song was huge. We're back here on DVD. Our theme has been music trivia this week with the musical theme. There's been a little quiz associated with the music coming back from breaks. I got to get the year of this. I want to make sure I get this right because I think I know this.
You know who the person is, right?
Oh, Olivia Newton-John.
Absolutely. Come on.
This one was number one for like 10 straight weeks.
Yes.
I don't really know why because it doesn't quite have the staying power as some songs. It was a good song, but I like some other songs of hers better, actually. But I'm going to say she was all the rage. I'm going to go. Now, this is one like – winter months. Could it be turnover? Turnover from year to year.
This song, not the album. The song was number one, not the album was number one, because I don't think the album was ever number one.
I'm going to declare it's 81 or 82. It's one of the two.
You got to
pick. I'm
going to
say 81. Boom.
There you go, Willie. There you go. It's the song, Willie.
Okay.
Did we not learn the other day, don't try Willie Donick with the 80s?
The 80s. It's hard to get the fastball by me. It's hard to get the fastball by me in the 80s.
We may have
some 80s. You go to the 2000, I had to phone a friend.
There may be another 80s in there. There may not be.
May not be.
Who's to say?
Time for our little change of pace topic. We want to do each day a little NFL topic that Titans fans would tune into. It's a big league story or something that directly affects the Titans. This one, maybe not quite in that category, but I think it's going to be one of the bigger stories to watch around the league, and that is the Rams. And we still don't know if Aaron Donald is coming back, but there's a lot of vibes. Mm-hmm. He's gone far enough down the road that we think it's going to happen. Do you feel like Aaron Donald is going to play at some point, even if he takes half the season off?
And then I think there's a higher possibility that at some point he will return than not.
And he would even be gravy. Even if he doesn't, they're still going to be really good because they have a guy named Myles Garrett now.
Mm-hmm. I guess he would have – wouldn't he have to come back before a certain point, or it doesn't matter?
That's an interesting rules question.
Because you got to have the money under the cap, but then you could finagle that anyway. But you do have to have the money under the cap to be able to sign them. And we know that the Rams they don't mind spending money. So will they have enough money? You know, or they have?
I feel
they
like
already
they're
going to
have their
that?
Plan. Yeah. I feel like they're going to plan it.
Yes,
I think they probably know, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Now here, think about the Rams last year. They did not make it to the Super Bowl. They lost 5 games in the regular season. Now, here are the 5. So you might remember one or two of these, even if you're just kind of a fantasy football player who watches the games every Sunday, even if you didn't watch all these games, you might remember some of these things. Their first loss was against the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champs. And in that game, they had the game won. Mm-hmm. They got a field goal blocked, run back for a touchdown to lose the game. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
Blocked field goal returned, and I don't want to bring up any more bad memories. Blocked field goals returned for touchdowns.
Yeah, I've had my share of those.
We're not going to go there. Second loss, overtime against Robert Saleh and the 49ers.
I don't remember that.
Good team. But it goes to overtime. You got to beat them in overtime. In hockey, you would get a point.
Yes.
You don't get that in the NFL. Third game, week 13, against the Panthers in Charlotte. Rainy game, pick six, fourth down, touchdown bomb. Okay, it happens. Fourth game they lost. Overtime barn burner against the Seahawks. That was a night game. Mm-hmm. Remember, later in the season. The Rams were up 30-14 in that game. And they did. It was a crazy game. And because they lost, they had to play at Seattle in the NFC Championship game and not at home.
Which could have cost them. That could have been a deciding factor for them.
And the last loss was after they had already clinched the playoffs, and they lost to the Falcons, and it was still a last-minute 51-yard field goal. So the bottom line is it was really hard to beat the Rams last year, and if one or two bounces, if the kicking was better, mm-hmm. you could argue, they might have won the thing.
Yeah.
If that game is in Los Angeles and not in Seattle, NFC Championship game, do they win that game? Maybe.
There's a possibility.
And, of course, the other team that won it, the Seahawks, was a great team. Mm-hmm. A really good team.
This team is going to be interesting because people are waiting for Stafford to fall off. Sort of kind of like people are just waiting for Derrick Henry to sort of fall off, and Derrick Henry hasn't showed any signs of slowing down. And I can say that for Matthew Stafford as well. Last year, he ended up winning the MVP. Now, the whole deal with him is his back. Will his back be able to hold up?
That's the key.
You know, but if his back holds up, there's nothing that would convince me to say the Rams could represent the NFC in a Super Bowl because they have everything. Then you add Myles Garrett. I know that Jared Verse is gone now, but you add a, you know, all defensive player, the best outside in the game right now, maybe the best defensive player overall in the game right now. So you add that to potentially, you know, guys coming back and, you know, and defense is already good. So if they get Aaron Donald back, I mean
it's just gravy.
It's almost like that should it's be almost like cheating defense. In a sense
yes.
on the defensive side of the ball. But, again, this is the NFL. And anything can happen, you know. Maybe the layoff, you know, will not work in his favor. Even though, you know, you've been practicing, working out, and you still stay true to your regimen and everything else, that's great. But football shape and being in shape is two different. Even if you've done everything that you can humanly do in the off season, it still doesn't prepare you necessarily for the condition you have to get in, you know, when it comes to football condition. Because now people are pushing on you, laying on you, grabbing you, pulling on you. You weren't doing those things during the off season. So maybe that's why you saw Aaron Donald with the pads. They had that film of him walking on the practice field with the pads because he's trying to get his body, even though he's probably in great shape, he's trying to get his body acclimated to having the pads on and people going in his legs and stuff like that. But if he comes back and if he's 60% of what he was when he left, I mean, how do you one, run against that defense, but then how do you consistently score points against that?
They were the fourth best defense last year, according to FTN Almanac. And that was before they traded for Myles Garrett mm-hmm. and before – that was without, obviously, Aaron Donald, who's been retired. But like you said, even if Donald is just a role player who they rotate in there on, you know, whatever's comfortable mm-hmm. as he builds back that football shape, that's pretty scary because the offense was the best offense in the NFL mm-hmm. last year. So the only question is, can they keep Stafford healthy? Because You know you've got McVay, the brilliant play caller. They just know exactly what they want to do offensively. Some people have thrown out 15 wins. Now, in a 17-game season, that's really something to say that they could win 15.
I mean,
but do you think it could be that dominant, or in that division with the 49ers and the Seahawks, is that too high of a prediction? Is that too much hype?
I don't think dominance. I would say dominance, because I think even in those games, even if they beat those teams that are within their division, even if they beat them, but I predict all of those games will be closely contested games. So even if you do beat Arizona, San Fran, and Seattle, I think they all will be close. So you can't say it's like dominance. I think, you know, it all depends on, you know, what happens within the, you know, division when it comes to injuries. If, you know, the Rams can stay healthy, then, yeah, you figure they would be the best team. But what if they get an injury? What if San Fran doesn't get hurt? How do they look? Because San Fran has been prone to having guys get hurt during the season.
That's a question for another day, is what do the 49ers look like as they still bring back the same old guys? Mm-hmm. And they're a year older. They've been banged up. But can they still be a contender? Connor, what do you think? Super team, the Rams, or overhype?
Super team, for sure. I don't know if I would go as far as 15 wins. I could see them winning 12 to 13. They're going to play in a tough division this year. The NFC West, I think three of the four teams are going to be playoff contenders, and the 49ers, the Seahawks, and now the Rams. But, I mean, if they get Aaron Donald back, which I don't know if it's too late to do that. I think you guys hit on that, but the Myles Garrett addition makes sense. I could totally see them going out and getting Vita Vea from Tampa Bay.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even.
So before – okay, here's a question for both of y'all and for the listeners. If they want to participate, 615-737-1025. Minus Vita Vea. He's not on the team. And minus Aaron Donald. But let's just put Aaron Donald. Let's put Aaron Donald back in there, because he said that would be the super team, right?
Okay.
So do you think that team – is better than the team they put together and won the Super Bowl? Because they went out and they got big names too.
Oh, yeah.
They got Stafford. They got, what's the defensive back name?
Jalen Ramsey.
They had a young Aaron Donald. They had guys literally, they had a young Cooper Kupp.
That was Cooper Kupp prime.
Vance Johnson. Jefferson was playing really well. They had other receivers. So is that iteration of the Rams better than what can potentially be this year's team?
I would think this team is better, just more seasoned. They got all the pieces moving. But that's a question we will answer throughout the season. So that is our change of pace today. We get back, we'll go back to the fastball. We're going to talk some Titans and their training camp. Steve Smith, some very interesting things to say about the wide receiver corps. By the way, I got sent a fun text by our buddy Chip Walters from MTSU. Murphy Center on the campus of MTSU, Olivia Newton-John, the physical tour, December 12th, 1982.
So there we go.
After the wave of 1981, the physical, she was A-list back in the time.
Chip has a deep concert bag, too.
That's pretty good stuff. All right, we're coming back with the 4 o'clock hour next here on DVD.